And Reb Chaim says, take a look, Reb Barrow. Usually, the last wagon of the 300 wagons is by the big trees. But this year, the line looks shorter. The last wagon is by that big rock over there, which is in front of the big trees, way in front. And there's a big space from the rock all the way till the big trees. It's empty. There's no wagons over there. It's a big space. And Reb Barrel gets a little nervous. Reb Chaim, maybe the wagons are like, you know, sort of close together. Maybe the wagons are closer together. Or maybe you got smaller wagons this year. Oh, no. The same size wagons. And they don't look closer together. Reb Barrel, it looks like some wagons are missing. Oh, no. I hope no wagons are missing. I don't want to let any of the paritzes down that I shouldn't have their seats. And all of a sudden, he says to Reb Barrel, Reb Barrel, do you remember the last day before we went? I told you have to get Boris and Vladimir to load the last 20 wagons of seeds for Count Kapinski. Those are the last seeds that I got. Did you get him to load the wagons? Reb Barrel says, well, I told him to load the wagons. Wait a minute. Did you make sure they loaded the wagons? Well, I sent them to load the wagons. Reb Chaim says, wait a minute. Did you check to see if they actually did it? You know, Boris and Vladimir sometimes can get a little bit involved in something else other than working. One of the things they like to do sometimes, you know, they get thirsty a lot, you know. What do they do when they get thirsty? They take a drink of water or orange juice? What do they take a drink of when they get thirsty? What do you think they get what do they take a drink of when they get thirsty? Soup? Soup? Mashke. Well, Reb Barrel says, Mashke. Reb Barrel says, Vladimir and Boris, I'm sure they loaded up the wagons. Wait a minute, Reb Chaim says, remember, I was about to count the wagons? I was about to count the wagons to make sure there were 300. And the baby was crying, I had to go into my house, and I told you that you should count the wagons. Did you count the wagons? Reb Barrel says, well, I told you that the wagons were counted. Reb Chaim says, wait a minute, I remember you said that. But I'm asking you different. Did you yourself count all the wagons? Reb Barrel says, no. You mean you didn't count the wagons? But you said the wagons were counted, didn't you? Reb Barrel says, well, that's what I said. So what does that mean? Well, I asked Boris and Vladimir to count the wagons because my baby also started crying. And so it came out that Reb Chaim sees that the wagons were not properly counted. Reb Chaim couldn't do it himself. Reb Barrel couldn't do it himself because the baby was crying and he had to run into his house. And Vladimir and Boris got too shicker to even count the wagons, even if they would have known how to count the 300. And so therefore, the wagons were not properly counted. And it so seems that the last load of seeds were never even loaded onto the wagons. And Reb Chaim goes to Vladimir and Boris. Did you count the wagons? Yes, we did. How many wagons did you get? 300. You counted 300 wagons? Sure, we got 300. Did you load the last seeds onto the wagons? We forgot. You forgot? Well, not we forgot. We got a little bit, you know, a little bit drunk. You know, we drank too much mashke. So then how could it be if you didn't load the last seeds that you got 300 wagons? We don't know, Chaim, but somehow we got 300. That's the way we counted. So what does it matter if we loaded the seeds or not, if we got 300 wagons? And Reb Chaim sees he's getting nowhere, relying on anybody else. And he starts counting the wagons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Until he goes to the end and he gets 280 wagons. Which means that there were 20 wagons missing. Which means that Count Kapinski's seeds were missing. Which means that Count Kapinski is going to be very angry. Which means that not only Reb Chaim will have to pay the fine, the knas, the extra money to Count Kapinski, but Count Kapinski, being a big count, is going to open his big mouth and make a lot of trouble, and he's going to say, nobody should get seeds next year from Reb Chaim. He let me down. You cannot trust him. And nobody should buy seeds from Reb Chaim, and he will lose his whole business. And Reb Chaim now is in a real pickle. Not a real pickle, but a real pickle. Not a real pickle, but a real pickle. He is in big trouble. Can he turn back to go get the seeds? No. It'll take another 3 days to get back and another 3 days to get here. And he's going to lose all that time. And everybody is going to come on that day to the hotel. He has to be on time. Can he show up to the hotel without the seeds? Oy gewalt. Count Kapinski will be angry. And trouble will happen. He can't go to the hotel and he can't go back. And, of course, he starts to get very, very upset and nervous. For a few minutes, Reb Beryl watches Reb Chaim. And all of a sudden, Reb Chaim, instead of looking very nervous and upset and sad, all of a sudden he starts to get a big smile on his face. Reb Beryl looks at Reb Chaim. I wonder why he's smiling if he's in such a big mess and a big problem. And all of a sudden, Reb Chaim says, I've got it! I've got it! Reb Beryl says, you got an idea? Yes! Here it is! And all of a sudden, this is what Reb Chaim says. You have to listen closely. All of a sudden, Reb Chaim starts to say these words. Now maybe you're not going to figure them out right away. But this is what he said. Strawberries, cherries, sugar, plums, peaches, grapes, raisins, bananas, watermelons. Reb Beryl says, Oy gewalt, Reb Chaim must be out of his mind. He's saying things that don't make any sense. What is he talking about fruits for? What's he talking about this for? What is it? Our fruit store over here? He has to think about his seeds. And he goes on. Plums and peaches and sweet apples and sweet fruits and sugar and of course mashke and whiskey and Vladimir and Boris. They start perking up listening to all this. Oh, it sounds like Reb Chaim is talking about the punch. That's what the punch is made out of. Now, in those days, they didn't make punch out of ready-made packages and add water to chemicals. They made it out of real things. And Reb Chaim keeps going on and on, repeating those words. Strawberries and cherries and peaches and plums and sugar and bananas and watermelons. And Vladimir and Boris and Reb Beryl are even laughing. And they're laughing and they're feeling bad at the same time that they made such a mess because they didn't count the wagons properly. And now they thought that Reb Chaim had lost his mind, that he went completely nuts. And he's just talking about a bunch of fruits and stuff. And Reb Chaim says, on to the hotel. Uh-oh, on to the hotel. Wonder what's going to happen there. They go on to the hotel and they finally reach the hotel. As they're getting close to the hotel, they already see the Porritz's fancy wagons and fancy horses. And they see the Porritz's and big farmers and landowners. They're already going into the hotel. And they're even dressed up fancy schmancy because of their party. And their workers and their schleppers, they're going to be the one to schlep all the seeds and everything. And usually Reb Chaim goes right into the hotel to, of course, he's not going to eat by the party. It's not kosher. He might have a little something that he brought with himself, but he has to get ready to go to do business. All of a sudden, Reb Chaim jumps off of the wagon even before it parks. And he runs into the kitchen. He goes into the door that goes into the kitchen. He does not go into the door that goes into the restaurant part of the hotel. He runs into the kitchen. And over there, the cooks are cooking for the party. And they turn around and they see Reb Chaim. They all know Reb Chaim because he does business over there in the hotel. Reb Chaim, you went in the wrong door. You're supposed to go into the restaurant part and not in the kitchen part. And Reb Chaim says, let me make the punch. Did you make the punch yet? Let me make the punch. They say, Reb Chaim, what do you mean? You're a big businessman. You have to go do business with all the Porritzes and big farmers and landowners. You don't have to waste your time in the kitchen making the punch. Reb Chaim says, no, no, no. I want to make the punch this year. I want to make the punch. Well, we just started. Oh, let me make it. And he says to the people in the kitchen, bring me the strawberries. And he dumps a bunch of strawberries into the punch. Bring me the peaches. And he dumps the peaches over there. You know, they're going to squish all this stuff up. Bring me a few nice, delicious, sweet watermelons. And they bring the watermelons and they put it into the punch. Bags of sugar. And they dump a few bags of sugar over there. And they dump all the different delicious fruits into the punch. And now he says, bring me the mashke for the punch. And they bring him about 5 bottles of mashke for the punch. He says, no, no, the punch has to be different this year. Not 5 bottles, 5 cases. Now, you know how many bottles are in a case? Okay, 5 bottles is 5 bottles. In a case is about 12 bottles. And if they put 5 cases of mashke, how many bottles will that be? You know how many bottles that will be? 60 bottles of mashke. Reb Chaim says to put 5 cases of mashke. Reb Chaim takes out money from his pocket. Here, bring me 5 cases of mashke. 60 bottles instead of 5. And they start dumping in vodka and whiskey and this whiskey and that whiskey and strong mashke until there were 60 bottles of mashke together with the watermelon juice and the cherry juice and the peach juice and the plum juice and the grape juice and all the different kind of juices that went into that mashke. Boy, does he make that a strong mashke. But in order that it should not taste so strong right away, he puts in a lot of extra sugar and a few extra squished up cherries and sweet watermelons and maybe some cantaloupes and pineapples. And he makes that a very special, strong, sweet punch. Finally, the punch is ready. And Reb Chaim now goes out into the big room where all the Porritzes and farmers and big landowners are over there eating and having their party over there. And right before Reb Chaim goes out, some of the Porritzes are yelling, hey, where's the punch already? Where's the punch? And some of the other Porritzes says, hey, where's Reb Chaim? He's supposed to be here already. Where's the punch and where's Reb Chaim? Well, all of a sudden, Reb Chaim comes in. Hey, Reb Chaim, you're here. Oh, it's so good to see you. And all of a sudden, the waiters and the schleppers and the people that serve the food, they bring in the punch. Hey, there's the punch. Look, Reb Chaim comes together with the punch. Oh, what a special day and a special party. Aha, seed day. And some of the Porritz say, let's have the punch first, And then we're going to do business like we usually do. We have a drink of punch. And one of the porters goes over there. And he takes his cup, his goblet. They have these special goblets. You know what a goblet is? It's like a special cup. And he dips it into the bowl. And he drinks down some of the punch. And he says, "Hey, this is the best punch we ever had on the seed day, on the special day. Oh, is this good?" Another poet says, "Let me try it." And he takes his goblet over there and he sticks it into the punch and he drinks it down. "Whoa, this is good punch." All of a sudden, Count Kapinski is over there. And he says, "Hey, I want to taste the punch. Make way for me." And he takes his big, gigantic goblet. You see this pitcher over here? See how big that is? Well, Count Kapinski's goblet was like a bucket, like a big pitcher. It was so big because, I mean, he was a big count. So he's going to have a bigger goblet than the other counts because he's a bigger count. And he wants to, of course, you know, have a big drink. So he has a big, big, gigantic goblet. And he sticks it into the punch. And he takes now a big drink of the punch. Gung, 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 gung. "Oh, this is a good punch." And all the porters and landowners and big farmers, they start drinking the punch. And at first, it was so sweet, they really didn't taste how much mashka was in there. But after a while, what happens to a person's head when a lot of mashka goes into his head? Does anybody know? Here's a boy who seems to know with a big smile on his face. What happens to a person's head when a lot of mashka goes into his head?
He becomes crazy.
He becomes crazy. Well, yes, I guess so. What else happens? What happens first? Here's a boy who's so excited. He must have great experience with these things, and he must have seen a lot. What happens when a lot of mashka goes to a person's head?
His head spins around.
His head spins around, and he gets very what?
Tired.
Well, tired. Okay, what else? Okay, his mouth is just open. I guess he wants some of that punch. He gets sicker. He gets drunk. Shh. Well, boys, these paritzes, who were used to drinking and used to taking some, you know, mashke, they never had such a strong punch. They started getting very sicker. And their heads started spinning around. But the punch was so good, they keep coming back for more. And each paritz is sticking his goblet into the punch again and again. And he's drinking. And Count Kapinski is sticking his gigantic goblet into the pitcher. And he's drinking until Count Kapinski says, "Forget about my goblet. I'm just going to drink the punch straight." He sticks his head into the punch. And he's just drinking straight from the big punch bowl, his head sticking in the punch. And he can't get enough of that. Count Kapinski was so shicker. He falls into the punch. The punch is his bathtub now. He is just swimming around in that gigantical punch. He fell in. He couldn't even stand up anymore. Another porter just saw Count Kapinski in the punch. They say, "That's the way to do it. That's the fun way." And they put down the goblets. They jump into the punch and they're drinking and they're swimming. And they are... they're in the punch. And they got so shicker. Until, of course, they finished the punch. They got so shicker. They could not even think of doing business. And Reb Chaim even said, "Let's do business." They said, "What business? Forget business. Punch, that's what we want. Punch. Forget everything else. We want punch." Until, boys, the paritzes and even their workers and their seed schleppers, they were all over the tables and all over the floor and all over the couches, and they were sound asleep after they got so shicker. And of course, whoever could fit in the punch bowl together with Count Kapinski fell asleep in the punch bowl. And no business was done except the punch business. The only thing that was done that day was a lot of punch business. And that night, a very unexpected thing happened. That night was an unexpected thing. Hashem helped in an unexpected way. While the counts and the paratzes and the big farmers and landowners were asleep in their drunken sleep. Now, what happened to all the wagons of seeds? Were any paratzes be able to get their seeds from the wagons? They were too drunk. Their workers were also drunk. So the seeds and the wagons remained outside. They were outside. Usually on a regular day with a regular punch, they take the seeds off the wagons, they put them in their wagons, and they go home after the party, and they take the seeds and put them in their barns, under the roof of the barns, so that it's protected. These seeds were left outside. And that night was a big wind blowing, and in the wind blew gigantic clouds, and the clouds were full of rain. And all of a sudden, there was a big storm. Thunder and lightning and rain. A big rainstorm. And it rained on the seeds. And of course, everybody knows that what happens if a big rain rains on bags of seeds and the seeds get all wet. You know what happens to the seeds? What happens to the seeds? Who would like to tell me what happens to all those seeds?
They grow.
They what? Well, they don't exactly grow. They grow when they're planted in the ground. You know what happens to the seeds?
The plants die.
Well, they're not plants yet. They're seeds. You know what happens to the seeds?
They get ruined.
They get ruined. They get all ruined. And the seeds don't work. All of those seeds got ruined. Now, Kinnelock, listen to what happened. The next morning, the paratzes and the big farmers, the landowners, they start waking up, and Count Kapinski climbs out of the punch bowl, dripping still. Oh, what happened? What a party we had. What a punch. Oh, boy. Hey, look, it's morning. It's the morning already. And another poet says, I think I remember last night hearing thunder and lightning and rain. This is what happened. Now listen closely. This is the main part of the story. In the morning, after the party from the day before, that the paratzes and the big farmers and landowners had drunk that strong, sweet punch. And they got so shicker, they forgot completely about doing business. And they fell asleep on the benches and on the seats. And Count Kapinski fell asleep in the punch bowl with a few other paratzes that had managed to jump in and drink up the rest of the punch while they were sleeping in it, and they fell asleep. The next morning, the paratzes woke up. What happened in the night while they were sleeping? A big storm had come, and the rain had ruined the seeds. Now, whose fault was this? The seeds were left outside. If the seeds had been brought home by the paratzes and the big farmers and the landowners, they would have right away carefully put the seeds into the barn. The barn has a roof. If it rains, the rain doesn't go on the seeds. They're protected by being inside the barn. But the paratzes and the big landowners and farmers, they had gotten drunk. They had fallen asleep. They had forgotten to do business. And they for sure were too shicker to go out and count the wagons, exactly how many they were. Now listen to what happened. When they woke up in the morning, they said, Do we remember last night hearing thunder and lightning? Another poet said, wasn't that the sound of Count Kapinski in the punch bowl with his big goblet rattling around? Yeah, I heard that too. I heard Count Kapinski rattling around in the punch bowl, but I think I also heard other kind of thunder. You mean there was a rainstorm? A rainstorm? Uh-oh, wait a minute. A rainstorm means there's rain coming down. That means it's wet. That means, wait a minute, where's our seeds? Our seeds? Didn't we do business yesterday? What business? Look at us. We woke up from the punch now. We didn't do any business. Another poet says, wait a minute, I remember Reb Chaim saying it's time to do business, and we were busy with a punch instead of the seeds. Oh no, we left our seeds outside in the rain. We got so drunk, we left our seeds in the rain. And they go running over to the window and they see that all of the wagons were left out in the rain. Oh, we were drunk. Our workers were drunk. We didn't do business. Our seeds are ruined. Ooh, they start to cry. Ooh, our seeds are ruined. All of a sudden, Reb Chaim comes in now into the big room. Of course, he had not gotten drunk. This is not the Yiddish way to drink punch and get drunk and start rolling around in punch bowls with poritzes. Reb Chaim comes in, and all of a sudden, the poritzes are crying. They say, Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim, we're sorry, we didn't do business. It's our fault. You did your part. You came with the seeds. We got drunk. We didn't do our part. We did not take care of our seeds. Now, again, they didn't count the wagons as exactly how many they were. They just realized that they didn't do their part of the deal. Did Reb Chaim come on time? Yes. Did he bring the seeds? Yes. Was he ready to do business? Yes. They didn't do their part of the deal. And the Paritzes and the big farmers and landowners, they made a meeting. And they said, it's only right of us that we pay Reb Chaim for his work, because he brought the seeds on time. And as for us, we have to worry this year about getting seeds ourselves from another place. And as for next year, we will make sure to behave ourselves better and not get so much into the punch that we're even going to jump into the punch, and we'll do the business of the seeds, and we'll be able to take our seeds home in case there's a rainstorm. And all of the counts and big farmers and landowners, including Count Kapinski, they made a line, they took out their money, and they gave it to Reb Chaim. And the workers went out and they put all the seeds in the big garbage cans because they were useless and completely worth nothing. And of course, Reb Chaim went kenelach back to his wagon, along with Boris and Vladimir, who probably also fell into the punch bowl when they saw what was going on, and Reb Barrow. And they're going now home. Of course, Reb Chaim is so thankful to Hashem. Now, Reb Barrow is asking now Reb Chaim, how in the world did you figure out such a smart, clever plan to be able to do that? I mean, look what happened. Reb Chaim says, what do you think, Reb Bell? I knew what was going to happen. I knew there was going to be a rainstorm. Now Reb Bell says, with the punch. I mean, what were you doing? I thought you lost your mind. You were talking about cherries and strawberries and watermelon juice, and all of a sudden you made a punch, and this is what saved you. And Reb Chaim says to Reb Barrow, the last time I was by my Rebbe, The Tzemach Tzedek. The Rebbe of Reb Chaim was the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. A very strange thing happened when I had Yechidus. When I went in,